अष्टांग योग। नाउ मदर देवहूति इज रिक्वेस्टिंग कपिला टू एलाबोरेट मोर ऑन भक्ति योग। सो दीज आर दी 7 क्वेश्चंस एंड आंसर्स व्हिच पुट इन भागवत सुबोधनी आल्सो। वी आर इन द 5th क्वेश्चन नाउ। इन द बिगिनिंग ऑफ द 29th चैप्टर देवहूति आस्क्ड 3 क्वेश्चंस। One about the path of bhakti in detail, second about the nature of time, third about samsriti or samsara or the continual birth and death of living entities. The 29th chapter describes path of bhakti in detail and also nature of time towards the end. And the next 3 chapters, 30, 31, 32, they describe about the birth, about the samsriti or samsara of living entities, about the birth and death of living entities. First question, first verse. Devahuti ruvacha lakshanam mahadadinam prakritehe purushasyacha svarupam lakshyate misham येन तत् पारमार्थिकं यथा सांख्येषु कथितं यन्मूलं तत् प्रचक्रशते भक्तियोगस्य मे मार्गं ब्रूहि विस्तरतः प्रभो।
Devahuti inquired, My dear Lord, you have already very scientifically described the symptoms of the total material nature and the characteristics of the spirit according to the Sankhya system of philosophy. Now I shall request you to explain the path of devotional service, which is the ultimate end of all philosophical systems.
So, glories of devotional service. So Devahuti is summarizing what Kapil Dev has already spoken. He spoke about the characteristics of material nature, Sankhya. Now please explain devotional service. And she also understands that bhakti is the ultimate end of all philosophical systems. So bhakti yogasya me margam bruhi vistarataha prabho. Vistarataha means very elaborately. Expansively, please describe the path of bhakti yoga. You have already spoken sankhya. Yatha sankhyeshu khatitham yan moolam tat prachakshate. So, she summarized what she has heard and she requested what she wants to hear. Prabhupada writes a summary of this chapter briefly in this purport. This chapter describes the glories of devotional service and influence of time on the conditioned souls. And why time is described? So that one can detach oneself, the conditioned soul can be detached from the material activities, which are actually waste of time. By understanding the characteristics of time, time factor, we will be cautioned not to waste time in this material world and use the time very judiciously to perform spiritual activities, and how we are under the control of time. So all these are described. So that will be in the second half. First we'll focus on, first Kapil Dev focuses on bhakti path in detail. Prabhupada also writes, bhakti yoga is the basic principle of all systems of philosophy. Also by bhakti yoga, without philosophical basis, is more or less a sentiment. Just like in the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, Prabhupada writes in those purports, philosophy without religion is speculation, and religion without philosophy is sentiment or fanaticism. That way. So bhakti is certainly a glorious process, but it also is a great science. Vedic literature suggests three elements: Supreme Lord, living entity, and their relationship. MSC, matter, spirit, and controller of both, Prabhu writes in some other purpose. So by giving up bhakti yoga and just doing an analytical study of things, it's just like husking a paddy. This Prabhupada is taking from Brahmaji's prayers. Brahmaji said, Shreya Shritim Bhakti Madasyate Vibho Klishyantiye Kevala Bodhalabdhaye. You know that verse? Sthula Tushava Ghatinath. Just like beating empty husk of rice. At the time of harvest, the rice paddy is cut and then it's beaten on a bench. Then grains will come. But once the grains are removed and the grass goes to Goshala, and at Goshala you put a bench and start beating the grass. When they are beating this, so many grains are coming. Right? I can't enter the field, I can enter Goshala. You start beating. No grain will come. It's already removed. After removing all the grain, that is shifted to Goshala. So, without bhakti, all the analysis, Sankhya and whatever, are insubstantial. Why Sankhya is being described in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam here? The reason is, all the material elements are analyzed in Bhagavatam also in connection with the law. Outside people may also analyze matter. They analyze ether, air, sky, planets, earth, water, a lot of analysis happens in this material world also by scientists or engineers or doctors or so many people. And the problem with their analysis is they keep Krishna aside. That is also Sankhya in one sense, analyzing material elements. But our Sankhya is not only analyzing matter, it's analyzing spirit also. And the connection between that matter and the spirit. Supreme Spirit, Krishna. Our Sankhya is in connection with Krishna. So Kapiladev described the characteristics of all the elements, Prakriti, earth, water, fire, air, ether, in the 26th chapter. But all of them originated from Krishna. Their origin is described. Their controller is described. The purpose is described. You just analyze things without knowing the purpose of their existence. That analysis is insubstantial. Why this matter exists. Yeah, that is to give an opportunity for the conditioned soul to exercise his rebellious mentality, whether he can enjoy separately from Krishna or not. That's why material world is existing. Purpose is clear. Then you start analyzing how it will entangle you. Then next step is how to come out of this entanglement. But without understanding why such a entangling matter is existing, and without taking an inspiration to come out of that entanglement, if you just analyze matter only, then it's pure insubstantial analysis. But Bhagavatam analyzes matter a lot, describes the cosmology a lot. Fifth canto, second canto, or third canto also, Uddhava Gita. There are so many technical sections that present elaborately the knowledge of this material world, science of this material world, analyzing matter, analyzing material mind, analyzing material intelligence. Entire Puranjan episode is analysis of material intelligence, how a conditioned soul gets entangled. But all this analysis of matter or material world or materialistic people is in connection with Bhakti Yoga. Conclusion is Bhakti. All our analysis doesn't bring us to a point of surrendering to Krishna, that analysis is actually a waste of time. Okay. That's what Prabhupada is also highlighting. It's like beating empty husk, empty paddy, no grains are there. You keep beating. So when you analyze, some realization should come out. What is that realization? I should surrender to Krishna. Analysis without realizing this life fact of surrender to Krishna, ultimate truth of surrender to Krishna, that is beating empty husk. Next, second, third verse. Virago yena purusho bhagavan sarvato bhavet achakshva jiva lokasya vividha mama samsritihi.
Devuti continued, my dear Lord, please also describe in detail, both for me and for people in general, the continual process of birth and death. For by hearing of such calamities, we may become detached from the activities of this material world.
So in the third verse, she says, please describe in detail for me and people in general. When great souls ask questions, it's not only meant for themselves, it's meant for everyone. And it's not that they don't know. They know things, but still they ask. Number one, not to test the speaker, but actually to enhance their own understanding of the subject matter and out of their compassion towards people in general. Relevant questions for a common man. That's the spirit in which they ask such questions, basic questions. Mujhe pata hai, Devahuti doesn't know, Vidura doesn't know, Parikshit doesn't know. Why they are asking such basic questions? Parikshit Maharaj asked, why Krishna is dancing with so many other people's wives in the middle of the night? Parikshit Maharaj asked, I know it, I can give a better explanation, I can give a seminar on it. Parikshit doesn't know. Don't think like that. You came to know only because he asked that question. Right? That we need to understand. They are asking on our behalf. So, Shreyaha Shrutihi is prosperous path of advancement towards Supreme Personality of Godhead. Samsriti means continued journey on the path of birth and death towards the darkest region of material existence to enter non-human species. So Prabhupada gives two terms here, Shreyaha Shruti and Samsriti. Samsriti is transmigration from one body to another body in material world. Shreyaha Shruti is that which is beneficial for you eternally, that path that takes you to spiritual world. Fourth shloka. Kalasyeshwara rupasya paresham cha parasyate swarupam bata kurvante yaddhetoha kushalam janaha.
Please also describe eternal time, which is a representation of your form and by whose influence people in general engage in the performance of pious activities.
And you should also describe eternal time, time factor. First she asked, elaborate on bhakti yoga, then she asked, elaborate on the time factor, nature of time. Okay. So these are Devahuti's questions in these first four verses. Advancement of age entails the influence of time on the body. Simple point. Then fifth verse, Devahuti glorifies Kapiladev. Nice verse. Lokasya mitya bhimate rachakshusha chiram prasuptasya tamasya nashraye shrantasya karmasvanu vidhyadhyam tvamavirashihi kila yoga bhaskaraha.
My dear Lord, you are just like the sun, for you illuminate the darkness of the conditional life of the living entities, because their eyes of knowledge are not open. They are sleeping eternally in that darkness without your shelter, and therefore they are falsely engaged by the actions and reactions of their material activities, and they appear to be very fatigued.
This verse describes the pitiable situation of materialistic people. And this verse also also glorifies the Lord Kapila Dev as Yoga Bhaskara. You are the sun of yoga. Sun illuminates. Bhaskara means sun. Yoga Bhaskara means that Lord who illuminates the hearts of listeners by teaching them yoga, adhyatmika yoga, bhakti yoga. So, to whom this illumination is needed? To those who are deluded by false ego, those who are blind, those who are sleeping in samsara, those who are fatigued by material attachments. So that's what she says. Lokasya mithya abhimater. Abhimata means false ego. Mithya abhimata. Abhimata is basically ego. Mithya abhimata means false ego. Bad identification, wrong identification about oneself. Lokasya, who are they? Most people in this world. Lokasya mithya abhimater achakshushaha. Achakshuha. Chakshu means eyes. Achakshusha means no eyes. Blind. They are unable to see. Because of false ego, they have become blind. They are unable to see the truth. Lokasya mityabhimater achakshushaha chiram prasuptasya. Prasuptasya means sleeping. Suptasya sleeping. Prasuptasya means sleeping in a very intense manner. Deep sleep. Chiram prasuptasya means for a long time they are in deep sleep. Here sleep is ignorance. For a long time they are in deep ignorance. They are blind. They are egoistic. Three things. What great qualifications that the materialistic people have in this world. Tamasi anashraye. Suptasya is followed by tamasi. In darkness they are sleeping. Fourth point. Anashraye. Shelter. Without any shelter, for a long time, they are sleeping in deep ignorance, deluded by false ego, being blind. Five things. Blind itself is sufficient, they can't see. On top of it, when a blind person sleeps, even if a person with vision sleeps, he can't see. Now, blind person is sleeping. Is there any possibility of sleeping, seeing? Right? How intensely she is describing. Already blind, on top of it sleeping. That too deep sleep. Uprapasanai. There is a way of sleeping which is as good as not sleeping only. That is called dog sleep. A student is supposed to sleep like that. If you are a student of Vidyapita, student, traditional disciple in the Vedic setup, you are supposed to sleep like a dog. There are five qualities of a student. You know that? Kaka cheshta, bako dhyanam, Swana Nidra, Alpahari Grahatyagi, five things. So, Swana Nidra, sleeping like a dog. Means, dog is very alert, all it is sleeping. That's why dog is kept there for watching. The night, watching whether people, some robbers are coming inside or not. If you put a bear there, or a pig there, you will lose everything. Right? So, you have to keep a dog only. Dog may seem to be sleeping, immediately dog will become alert. Students also should become very alert in gathering knowledge, in acquiring knowledge. Anyways, here these people are blinded by false ego, they are asleep, they are sleeping in samsara, fatigued due to attachment. This is another fifth point. Shrantasya. Shrantasya means fatigue. They are so tired. Anuvidhaya dhiya. They are attached with their intelligence. Tam avisa avirasihi kila yoga bhaskara. You have appeared basically to help them and wake them up from their slumber. This verse is clear. So Devahuti is very compassionate to the regrettable condition of the people in general. So bhakti yoga is like providing sun-like illumination for deliverance of conditioned souls. It is the only path for mitigating the fatigue in the struggle for existence. Okay. So problem is described in an elaborate manner. The solution is simple, bhakti yoga. Maitreya uvacha इति मातुर्वचः श्लक्ष्णम् प्रतिनन्द्य महामुनिः आबभासे कुरुश्रेष्ठ प्रीतस्ताम् करुणार्दितः.
Sri Maitreya said, O best amongst the Kurus, the great sage Kapila, moved by great compassion and pleased by the words of his glorious mother, he spoke as follows.
Kapila was very much impressed with the compassionate spirit of Mother Devahuti. Oh, she is asking questions for the welfare of people in general. She is so compassionate. So Lord is so compassionate towards the people in this world. That's the purpose of his descent. If anyone else also imbibes that spirit of compassion upon struggling souls or people in general, the Lord is very much pleased with such people. Okay. So, Devahuti's compassion impressed Lord Kapila. Devahuti is thinking not only for her personal salvation, but also in terms of the fallen conditioned souls. Now we can see such spirit in most of the enquirers in Bhagavatam. Vidura asks, Sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukham vanyad paramam. Vidura asks Maitreya, what is the solution for people in this world who are suffering in search for their happiness, but in contrary they are getting distress and they are not stopping their endeavor for happiness. And Parikshit Maharaj also asks, how the humanity may be saved from entering the hellish planets. Towards the end of 5th canto, Parikshit Maharaj goes through the descriptions of all the hellish planets. 26 or 28 hellish planets are there. They are planetary systems. They are the prominent ones. There are many more also, auxiliary hells. So, after hearing all this, the immediate thought that came to Parikshit Maharaj's mind is, how people can be saved from entering hellish planets. That's how Ajamil episode was spoken. We discussed a lot on Vaishnava compassion in our character classes. So, Prabhupada is writing, because the Lord is perpetually compassionate towards them, he is pleased if someone of his devotees become compassionate towards the conditioned souls. Preachers are very dear to the Lord. So this compassion also can be shown in two ways. One, to address the immediate needs of these people around. Second, to plan for their long-term welfare. Compassion is exhibited in two ways. And the long-term welfare is most important. Some people may be overwhelmed with with other people's immediate needs, philanthropy. Yeah. Someone is hungry, you can always give them food. That's fine. But beyond that is a compassion on the soul. Right? That is exhibited by inspiring people to practice bhakti yoga, to surrender to Krishna. Okay. Seventh verse, Kapila is speaking. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, bhakti yoga bahu vidho. मार्गैर भामिनी भाव्यते स्वभाव गुणमार्गेन पुंसाम भावो विभिद्यते भक्ति योगो बहुविधो. Now what did Devahuti ask till now? Three questions she asked. What are they? Elaboration on devotional service, nature of time, then samsriti of the jivas, birth and death of jivas. Now, Kapila is answering the first question, that is about bhakti. First he says, bhakti yoga bahu vidho. Bhakti yoga is of multiple types, right? Different types. Bahu vidha means multifarious. Margair bhamini bhavyate. So bhavyate means bhakti yoga manifests in various flavors. O bhamini, Your bhavani is, O noble lady. Svabhava guna margena pumsam bhavo vibhidhyate. How bhakti yoga is classified into different categories? Bhakti is one. Process is devotional service. There could be different stages of devotional service. There could be different processes in devotional service. There are five potent processes. What are they? Deity worship, Dham Darshan, Holy Name, Vaishnava Seva, Bhagavat Pathan. So these are five potent forms. There are nine processes. What are they? Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, etc. There are 64 processes. Right? So like that, 5, 9, 64 is fine, but all of them are called Bhakti Yoga. You can say there are multiple processes in Bhakti Yoga. There are multiple limbs of Bhakti Yoga. There are different aspects of Bhakti Yoga. So all that you can say. But here it's in, there are different types of Bhakti. So Bhakti is one. Here the type is actually according to the person who is practicing Bhakti. That's what the second two lines say. First two lines are a bit confusing or misleading. You may think that there are different types of bhakti. Bhakti yoga bahuvidho. But how is this bahuvidho? Svabhava guna margena. According to the svabhava, the nature of the practitioner. Pumsam bhava vibhidyati. According to the nature and guna, qualities, or the modes that are influencing the practitioner, bhakti manifests in different ways. So it's basically about the quality of the practitioner, not exactly the type of bhakti. So a person who is practicing bhakti yoga, if he has these qualities, bhakti is called in that way. A tamasik bhakti kar, a rajasik bhakti kar, sattvik bhakti kar. Bhakti is not tamasik, rajasik, sattvik. Bhakti is beyond modes. But the person who is practicing bhakti is under modes, so his bhakti is mentioned like this, tamasik, rajasik, etc. Okay. So pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness is one. In pure devotional service, there is no demand from devotee to be fulfilled by the Lord. So bhakta performs bhakti unalloyed and uninterrupted, right? Without any expectations from the Lord, no motivations, and without any breaks, interruptions. That's what bhakti is. But if he performs bhakti with motivations, then what is he called? He's performing bhakti only, but he has some personal desires. So he comes into substandard categories. Bhakti, which is alloyed bhakti. So if it is ahaituki apratihata, it is unalloyed bhakti. If it is having some desires for interruption or some other personal motivations, then it is alloyed bhakti. So that alloy can be of three categories. Alloy because of three modes. Okay. Now you cook rice. That is rice. Organic rice pakadu. I mean, rice also can be 100 types, but just take only one quality of rice in your kitchen. So you take that one rice, you cook it. Now you make pulihogare masala. Mix it with that rice, it will become pulihogare. You take tamarind masala, put it. Tamarind rice, or you take what else? Fried rice, ghee rice, coconut rice, lemon rice, tomato rice, masala bhat, or kya hai? Kya lila kirtan Prabhu knows. Sometimes festivals he will do cooking. Kitna item bana? 14 items bana. 14 items kya bana? Rice only. He mixes with different masalas. मैं 15 टाइप का पकोड़ा बनाया मतलब माल सेम है ही पुट सम कड़ी पत्ता इन दैट कड़ी पत्ता पकोड़ा पुट सम कैबेज पकोड़ा पुट व्हाट इज दैट कॉल्ड बनाना यू स्लाइस इट एंड देन पुट इट दैट्स बनाना बज्जी राइट देन मिर्ची बज्जी देन यू पुट टमाटर बज्जी कैप्सिकम बज्जी लाइक दैट यू जस्ट मेक 100 सेम टाइप बेसिक माल इज सेम राइट फॉर सम नॉन स्पेसी पीपल will take something, say banana bhaji, but spicy people will take mirchi bhaji. Other Chaitanya Prabhu will take mirchi bhaji. Right? So bhakti is same. Bhaji is same. Here bhakti is same, but person who is in passion, he has this mentality. Someone who has ignorance, he has a different mentality. Someone who is in mode of goodness, he has a different mentality. So it's this categorization of bhakti, allied bhakti, is basically according to the nature of the practitioner. Bhakti is one, rice is one, right? The bhajji ka mix is one, besan. Basic is besan. On top of it, what all you are putting it, that's different. Next. Mishra bhakti is also alloyed bhakti. It's basically the flavor of mixture. Now there is bhakti in mode of goodness, bhakti in mode of passion, bhakti in mode of ignorance. Bhakti which has bhakti as the prominent element and karma, jnana, yoga as secondary element, it is called pradhani bhuta bhakti. So that bhakti is in different flavors. That is bhakti mishra, yoga mishra bhakti, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti. Okay, means yoga, karma, jnana are added to bhakti, right? Bhakti is prominent, these are secondary. So there is guni bhuta bhakti, that is the secondary element is primary, means this yoga, karma, jnana are primary, bhakti becomes secondary. Okay, so that is bhakti mishra karma, bhakti mishra yoga, bhakti mishra jnana. All are of an allied bhakti only. In one sense you can call like that, but it's not exactly mishra. Mishra, the word mishra is used when you add something into it. But if you consider the aspiration there, then you can call this also. This is also according to the mentality and aspiration. That also is, to some extent, aspiration is there, needed, mentality is needed. You can call it. But if that's how Acharyas did not exactly explain that way, it seems. I don't know. But you can call definitely. Basically, it's alloyed bhakti. There's alloy there. It's not unalloyed bhakti. Anything less than uttama bhakti or pure bhakti or what is that? Uttama bhakti. Bhakti Ruttama, okay, pure Vishuddha Bhakti is allied Bhakti. You can put all these categories in it. Not plain race. Yes, again, it comes to, I don't know exactly, depends on the quality of practitioner or the mentality, the exact aspiration that he is aspiring for. One thing is, it's different from our sadhana bhakti. We are practicing pure devotional service only, but the problem is, we are still being haunted by certain material impressions and certain material desires, but we want to overcome them. So in our intention, there is a aspiration to overcome whatever is unfavorable for bhakti. So we are on the path of uttama bhakti. So someone who is practicing uttama bhakti, who is not at the level of a pure devotee, still he is practicing pure devotional service, he may sometime resemble some of these fellows. Right? So now, as you said, pradhani bhuta bhakti, when bhakti is the primary element and jnana, karma, yoga are secondary elements, if he sticks to devotional service, he may overcome those mentalities, those secondary stuff. There's a possibility of overcoming that. There's a possibility of overcoming in every way, to the extent he is practicing, to the extent he has guidance, to the extent he has mercy and all. But all this is basically about the intention part. The intention is itself is impure. Some people may use bhakti to attain something. Pleasing Krishna is not in their aspiration set at all. But it may not be there in our aspiration set also, but we are trying to develop that aspiration. Thus, we are in a better position, although we are not as pure. Sometimes these people may seem more pure. Right? The Mishra Bhakti people may seem more elevated than immature sadhaka, but aspiration is different. Eighth verse. Abhisandhaya yo himsam dambham matsaryam evavam sambrambhi bhinna drikbhavam mai kuryat satamasah.
Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent and angry and who is a separatist is considered to be in the mode of darkness.
Here the performer of bhakti is in mode of ignorance. So that's eighth verse. Tamasic practitioner. In that sense, sometimes they may be called tamasic bhaktas. A tamasic bhakti, what they are doing. Bhakti cannot be tamasic. It's beyond modes. Your bhakti is beyond modes. So they have intentions of violence. Abhisandhaya, having a view. Abhisandhaya is basically intention. Yo himsam, himsa is violence. Dambham, pride. Then matsaryam, envy. Evava. So if the intention behind practice is violence, pride, hatred or envy, and on top of it he has no compassion also, so such a person is called bhakta in mode of ignorance. Prabhupada writes, the highest and most glorious religion is savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhakshis. Their only motive is devotional service and to please the Supreme Personality of God. That's the purest state of the living entity. To act under the direction of bona fide spiritual master with motive to satisfy the Lord is pure devotional service. So there is a surrender to a pure devotee in such a practice. It's like there is no speculation, there is submissiveness, there is surrender, and there is sincerity in motive, in intent, purpose. One who does devotional service like that, but is proud of his personality, envious of others, thinks he is best devotee, not pure, they are of lowest grade, tamas. Okay. One may offer respects to such a Vaishnava because he accepted the Supreme Lord as ultimate goal of life, but one should not keep his company. At least he is worshipping the Lord, he may just offer respects. His association is not worth taking. In fact, it's degrading also. Consciousness may get disturbed. Like that. Ninth verse. Vishayana bhisandhaya yasha aishwarya mevava archada varchaye dyomam prathak bhavaha sarajasaha. This is about the person who is in mode of passion. He worships the deities in the temple with a motive of material enjoyment, fame and opulence in devotion. So there is desire for enjoyment, fame and opulence. He wants to become prominent. He wants to show his superiority over others. He wants to become famous by using devotional service. Not much to please Krishna, but he is aspiring for fame. There are material aspirations in his performance of bhakti. Now, very important point that we need to consider in this analysis is, don't try to apply these definitions on people around us. You may judge yourself where you stand. Do I have these aspirations? Deep within my heart, do I have an aspiration to please Krishna or not? Am I aspiring for name, fame, enjoyment, opulence? Or am I violent? Am I having pride, hatred towards other Vaishnavas? All that, you just evaluate yourself. But if you just stamp other people, he's a tamasic bhakta, he's a rajasic bhakta, he's a sattvic bhakta. we may have to analyze people just to find out if they are compatible for some seva, if allocating seva is your service. You need to find, if you are a manager, if you have to give service to someone, try to find the find whether the servant is compatible with the service or not. To that extent, analysis may be bona fide, that too with a great, what to say, caution note within, right? And doing it with the basic minimum and discussing only with some sensible people around. So all these are there. But knowing so many definitions like this should not inspire us to judge other devotees. Yes, judgment, leave it to Krishna, right? And if you want to judge, you can judge yourself based on these definitions. But judgment, leave it to Krishna. If you're a manager, judge to certain degree, harmless degree, right? Though only with an intention to find whether he's suitable for a service or not, to that extent. Out of your concern for service in Krishna, you start analyzing people. That's a part of management. Judgment is a part of management. But if the judgment becomes offense, then better come out of the management. So one should be careful in doing that. So next, desires for enjoyment, fame, opulence, etc. That makes one. There is called separatist mentality. His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj came to Jeev a few months back and spoke on these three things. Separatist mentality. They don't have a mentality of uniting with other devotees, cooperating with other devotees. They have a separatist mentality. You can give me Subodhini. No, not someone else. You know, you are not using only. You can use. Separatist mentality here specifically. This is based on Chakvartipat's thing, last column. Devoid of compassion. There is no compassion in that person. That is separatist mentality or bhinnadhru, separate vision of tamasic fellow, tamasic bhakta. Then desire for objects other than Lord. That is the separatist mentality of this passionate bhakta, rajasic bhakta. Now 10th verse is about, who is that? Sattvic person. Before that, 9th purport, Prabhupada writes, ignorance and passion. In ignorance and passion, those bhaktas think about the interest of the Lord. They worship the Lord to supply they worship the Lord with a desire to fulfill their own ambitions. They see the Lord as an order supplier. So Mayavadi's interpretation of separatist is, while worshipping the Lord, one should think himself one with the Lord. That is his separatist mentality. So what is his separatist mentality? In one sense, as a performer of this pure process, you are supposed to have certain mentality. But you are holding a mentality that is separate from that mentality. What is the flavor of that separatism? That is devoid of compassion in the case of a tamasic bhakta, devoid of very deep material ambitions, having deep material ambitions, that is what rajasic bhakta. Okay. Now let's come to sattvic bhakta, 10th sloka. Karma nirhara muddishyam parasminvata darpanam yachet vishtavyam itivam पृथक भाव सात्विक कर्म निर्हारम मीन्स ही ट्राइज टू फ्री हिमसेल्फ फ्रॉम ऑल कर्म एक्टिविटीज नो एक्शन बिजनेस रेनन्सिएशन इन द थर्ड चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद्गीता अर्जुन आस्क्स कृष्ण एक्शन और रेनन्सिएशन यू टोल्ड मी अबाउट बुद्धि योग बुद्धि योग मीन्स इंटेलिजेंट एंड दूरेण ह्यवरम कर्म You said you stay far away from all activities, abominable activities. And why are you encouraging me to engage in this abominable activity of fighting? Arjuna asked like that. So Prabhupada writes, so Arjuna was thinking that Buddhi yoga means using your intelligence to be detached from active life. And Krishna is asking him to fight. He said he thought it is contradictory. Krishna is contradicting himself. So Prabhupada explains that actually Krishna is not contradicting himself. Arjuna thought that not fighting is better than fighting. Right? This is Buddhi Yoga and that is Karma Yoga. But actually these two are same. Working in Krishna consciousness, renunciation that Krishna is trying to highlight there is renunciation of the fruits of the work, not renunciation of work itself. Okay? Karma Falatyaga, not Karma Tyaga. Okay? Karma Fala is the fruits of work. Be detached from that. That's the renunciation that he wants, not giving up activity itself. Now coming back to this person who is in mode of goodness, karma nirharam uddishya, his aspiration is to stay away from active engagement. Pramishan va tadarpanam, and he also tries to offer the results of his activities to the Supreme Lord. He doesn't do any material activity, and whatever activity he does, he offers it to Krishna. Karma arpanam is there. Krishna karma arpanam is there in him. Okay. Then what else? Yajet yashtavyam itiva. Yajet means he worships the Lord. Okay. But prithak bhavaha sa sattvikaha. That is the separatist. That is the, he is having a separatist mentality in sattvika mode, in mode of goodness. The separatist mentality in specifically in this case is aspiration for liberation. He worships the Lord. He offers the results of his work to the Lord, but he aspires for liberation. So that is mode of goodness person. Okay. So a pure bhakta does not even aspire for liberation also. He keeps continuing to serve Krishna without expecting the results. Okay. He is not expecting the results. He is offering the results, but he is expecting a different result. That is liberation. So that is sattvika bhakta. Prabhupada writes, karma arpana means offering the results of specific duties of varnashrama. If there is any inability or fault, it is atoned for by this offering process. Ashramas and varnas act for some benefit in accordance with the personal interests. Therefore, such activities are in mode of goodness. They cannot be counted in the category of pure devotional service. What is pure devotional service? Anya abhilashita sunyam. There is no other aspiration only. Even liberation also is not a part of his aspiration. So each of the 9 processes of devotional service, now here 3 mentalities are discussed about a practitioner who is practicing bhakti. 3 mentalities. Now, bhakti has 9 processes. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevan, etc. Each of these processes can be practiced with these 3 mentalities. Someone may do Shravanam with the aspiration to get liberation, with aspiration for material enjoyment, while hating someone. I will hear so much to prove that I am a better hearer than that fellow. Someone may do Kirtanam in these mentalities. Someone may do deity worship, archanam in these mentalities. Someone may offer prayer in these mentalities. Right? So each of the 9 processes of devotional service can be performed with these mentalities. Okay. So that will become 3 × 9, 89 categories of substandard bhakti, alloyed bhakti. 81 categories of alloyed bhakti. So now Kapila Dev says, there is another pure category, that is unalloyed bhakti, that is uttama bhakti. In that bhakti, what happens is madguna sruti matrena mai sarvaguhashaye manogatira vichinna yatha gangam bhasom budau lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya yudahritam ahaitugi avyatihata ya bhakti hi purushottame mad guna shruti matrena, someone who is having that pure intent to serve Krishna, someone who is doing unalloyed bhakti, not allied bhakti, which is discussed in the last three verses. Unalloyed bhakta, what is his mentality? Mad guna shruti matrena, just by hearing the descriptions of Krishna's qualities. Shruti matrena, shruti means by hearing. Shruti matrena means just by hearing. The spontaneous reaction towards hearing about Krishna's gunas, means qualities, is mai sarva guhashaye. His entire existence and mind and consciousness will just flow towards Krishna. How? Avichinna, without any breaks. Manogati, gati means the path, right? Manogati means the path in which your mind is traveling, right? The way, the mode of your travel. Avichinna. Avichinna means without any breaks. With absolutely no breaks or interruptions, his mind will, his consciousness will just run towards Krishna just by hearing Krishna's qualities. One quality he hears about Krishna, immediately his mind is overwhelmed with feelings, emotions, attraction towards Krishna. And an example is given. Yatha Gangambha Sombhudav. Ganga is Ganges, water, river Ganga. Just like river Ganga flows towards the ocean, although hundreds and thousands of obstacles come on her path. So many stones may be there, a big stone is there in the river. So what does it do? River will go in this side, and then somehow go to the ocean. There's a big mountain. The river will divide itself into two and then somehow reach the mountain. No obstacle can actually stop the river from flowing towards ocean. Similarly, no obstacles can stop a devotee who hears about Krishna. Same thing that happened with the gopis. Gopis heard Krishna's flute. He is playing flute from Vamshivat, and that sound entered the ear holes of all the gopis. They just left all the household affairs. Someone was serving their husband, someone was serving their children. Although their husband stopped, children stopped, parents stopped, society stopped, protocols are there, nothing could stop them. They just ran towards Krishna. Patisutanvayat bhratrubandhavat ativilanghyate achyutagatah gativirastavo udgita mohitah kitavayoshitah kastyajenvishya. Pati suta, their sons and their husbands, all of them were stopping them. Bhratru bandhava, their brothers were stopping, their relatives were stopping. Ativilanghyate achyuta agatah. Achyuta is calling us. He cannot stop us. Gativirastavo udgita mohitah. Udgita means Krishna sang a song with his flute in a loud voice. Udgita mohitah. Although they are in village, Krishna is in forest, the sound came. Right? The potency of love is to hear the beloved even from far distance also. Kitavayoshitaha kastyajenvishya. Why do this gopis say in Gopi Gita that why are you abandoning us, although we have given up everything and came? Like that. So now you see, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, I think several years back, almost a decade back, when he was describing this Rasa Panchadhyaya. Rasa Panchadhyaya came in our regular Chopati Bhagavatam classes few years back. So there was a big discussion. Should we discuss them verse by verse or not? Every day we take one verse, right? Like that, Rasa Panchadhyaya, so many hundred verses are there, more than 100 verses are there in the 5 chapters. So it will go for few months only on Rasa Panchadhyaya. Should we do that or not? Then finally authorities came to decide that we'll have one class and one chapter. Japit class. The pace at which we go. Then Radha Gopinath Prabhu got this first chapter, I think. First chapter only. So gopis are running towards Krishna as soon as they heard the flute. And we don't have such experience. Right? Just to give you a glimpse of understanding of what they are going through, I'm giving an analogy. He gave this analogy. His example, not my example, said, when you have to attend nature call, the pressure is so high, right? No obstacle can stop you from going towards the toilet. Right? Someone will say, Prabhu, rasmalai leke hai. Nahin, now I need to go. Right? Prabhu, we should have a discussion now. Very important discussion. Something very exciting to you. Not now. So you have to immediately attend to the nature call. You have to run from your locker or from your room to the bathroom. No obstacle can stop you. And you can't think about anything else in the entire creation apart from attending to the nature call. And this we can relate with. Right? Not so much how gopis are running. Right? So if you can relate with it, this gives you a slight glimpse of what they are undergoing. Like that. You can be stopped. So this is the... He's too honest. Ganga's example is better. No, something which you are experiencing. So that's what Prabhupada was trying to say. So, lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hi udahirtam. So, bhakti yogasya lakshanam. The nature of bhakti yoga is like that. And what is this bhakti? Nirgunasya bhakti. The previous three verses are guna bhaktis. Bhakti in different gunas. But this bhakti is nirguna bhakti. These two verses describe bhakti beyond modes. It is unalloyed, unadulterated devotional service. So, lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hi udahirtam. I am speaking about the bhakti which is beyond modes, material modes. How is that done? Ahaituki apratihata. Ahaituki means without any material motivations. Avyatihata or apratihata, both are same only. Avyatihata. Ya bhakti hi purushottam. Purushottam is bhakti done towards Krishna. This is something similar to Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshati Ahaituki Apratihata Ye Atma Suprasidati. This is also something similar to Uttama Bhakti definition. Anyabhilashita Sunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavrutam Anukulasya Krishna Anusilana Bhakti Rottam. Okay, Anukulasya. This is also similar to First Canto, third chapter, 38th verse. What is that? Saveda dhatuhu padavim parasya. You remember this verse? How many of you remember this verse? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Very important verse you should remember. As good as this verse. Saveda dhatuhu padavim parasya. Durantavirya rathanga pane. Yomayaya santataya nuvritya bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham sa veda dhatuhu padavim parasya. Veda means to understand. Dhatuhu means creator. Padavim parasya means with his transcendental glories. Durantavirya, his unsurpassable prowess. Rathanga Pane, that Lord who holds the chariot wheel. Ratha means chariot. Anga means a limb of the chariot. That is wheel. Pani means one who holds it in his hand. That is Krishna. When can you understand the glories of Krishna? When you perform devotional service. In what mood? Yo amayaya. What is amayaya? Without? Without any pretense, fine. Anything else? Exact word that Prabhupada used? Without any reservations. Yo amayaya. Santataya means continuously, correct. Constantly. No interruptions. That is same as avyatihata. Anuvritya means favorably. That is anukulasya sankalpam. Here ahaituki. Without any motivations is something. Without any motivation means without any material motivations, which is having favorable intent towards serving Krishna. So all these great verses are actually describing to us the quality of devotional service which is expected of a devotee. It should not have any personal desire, selfish motives. It should not be with breaks. Bahut ho gaya, thoda break leta. Breaks for self-preservation are okay. You have to take break. You have to go into sleep. Night 9 o'clock, 8:30, 10 o'clock, maybe something like that. You should sleep. And you should take 6-7 hours rest to be ready for next day's devotional service. Not that kind of breaks. Right? थोड़ा एक साल छुट्टी लेता हूँ, थोड़ा घूम के आता हूँ, सम डिवोटी बस चलेंगे, लग रहा है मेरे भक्ति में बहुत जल्दी आ गया थोड़ा मजा करके आना चाहिए था और चलेंगे लाइक लीला कीर्तन रुक रहे ही केम लिटिल लेटर इन हिज एज नो एनीवेज सो दिस इज भक्ति बियॉन्ड मोड्स सो व्हाट इज द फ्लो टिल नाउ Devahuti asked three questions. Elaborately describe bhakti, time factor, and samsriti. Then she described the Lord as Yoga Bhaskara. Next. Kapiladeva started describing bhakti in modes. Tamasik, Rajasik, Sattvik. Then he started describing bhakti beyond modes. That is unalloyed bhakti, pure bhakti, aruttama bhakti, arshuddha bhakti. That is Madguna Sruti Matrena. Prabhupada is writing here. Affinity between pure devotees and Supreme Personality of Godhead is natural and is compared to Ganges water flowing towards the sea. Avichinna, without any interruptions. So, avichinna, avyatihata, more or less same. Okay. Avyatihata is without cessation. Ahaituki means without any cause. So, causeless and ceaseless bhakti we need to do. That is what pure bhakti is. We may not be able to do, but if our aspiration is to do causeless and ceaseless bhakti, we are on the path of pure devotional service. If our aspiration is something else, then we are not on that path. Salokya sarishti samipya sarupyaikatva mapyuta diyamanam nagrihananti Vinamatsevanam janaha. Now continuing the same dialogue, he said, the pure devotee who is doing unalloyed devotional service, he does not desire anything. No motivations. He does not even desire liberation also. Liberation is desired by someone who is in mode of goodness. That's what he said two verses back in the 10th verse. So 13th verse he says, devotees don't even desire liberation. Salokya is what? Being in the same planet as the Lord. Sarishti, having the same opulences as the Lord. Samipya, living so close to the Lord. Salokya is being in the same planet. But Samipya is in the same planet, staying very close, which is considered superior to Salokya also. You are in India, but you are next to the President of India. India is Salokya. Next to the President of India is Samipya. Sarupya means having the same form as the Lord. Aikatva means being one with the Lord. That is Sayujya. Apyuta diyamanam nagrihananti. Even if the Lord himself gives that kind of liberations to a devotee, he does not accept. Vina mat sevanam janaha. Without an opportunity to render service to Krishna. I think in our character classes I was mentioning this verse. A devotee rejects these five kinds of liberation. One liberation pakka, he doesn't want, Sayujya. He rejects even four kinds of liberation, personal liberations also, not out of arrogance, out of his deep humility. Mukti is waiting at the doorstep of a devotee. Accept me, accept me. The devotee is andramata. Don't come inside. Be there only. Why? He says like that out of his humility. How can I accept the same opulences as the Lord? Who am I to accept the same form as the Lord? Right? Do I have any qualification to stay with the Lord in his same planet? I don't think so. If I have a service, I may do it. But if I don't have service, who am I to accept all these special privileges? So out of his deep humility, he says, I don't want this. But if you give me seva, I can take this. Like that. Seva, I can't take it, then I will take this. Otherwise, no sir. For example, you are so humble, you don't want to take a vehicle from temple hall to amenities. It may take 10 minutes walk for you. I will take 10 minutes walk, no problem. I don't want to go there in 2 minutes. Only. Who am I to take this special privilege? You may think like that. But some senior devotee is calling you. He should be there in the next 5 minutes. You have to take a vehicle. So seva hai kya? Take, I'll sit in vehicle. I'll go fast. Seva nahi hai kya? Main chal ke jata hu. Like that. Humility. How out of humility he rejects liberation, not out of arrogance. Arey, I am associate of Krishna. What kind of liberation are you giving me? Not in that mood. I'm not qualified for liberation. It is so high, wonderful. Being in the same form of as the Lord, it's such a special thing. Who am I to accept it? Vina sevaka. But if seva is there, I can accept it. Like that. In that mood, he rejects. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. You know that verse. Every day you are singing in the morning. Life after life, he wants to become a devotee of the Lord. Life after life. Matlab seva, ek janam ka nahi. One life, you do seva. After that, no more seva. Bas. Liberation mil jayega. Devotee doesn't want that. I want to do seva life after life. Okay. So, practicing bhakti yoga means giving an eternal commitment. Not a temporary commitment. The process or the means and the result both are same. It seems a little exhausting, Arya. 10 saal se bhakti kar, 15 saal se japa kar, 20 saal se management kar. So that sometimes there could be a lot of exhaustion, right? Genuine exhaustion, definitely, after taking up so much. But that's what we entered into. That's the arena. We have expressed our willingness to be like that. Flavor may change, but the word service will not change. The nature of service will change, but the principle of rendering service to Krishna will not change for the rest of eternity. Kab mukti milega? Then you are not a bhakta. Right? Ye seva se kab mukti milega? Then you are an aspirant of liberation. Right? Seva se kabhi mukti chahiye hi nahi? Then you are a bhakta. I don't want liberation at all from this service. Even if the liberation offers me hundreds of privileges, like having the same farm as the Lord, same planet as the Lord, same opulence as the Lord, I don't want that. I want seva only. So that's what we have committed for. Right? Initially, somehow, because of some excitement, something just inspired us, or excited us, or enthused us, or yesterday, as I was saying, infatuation period. Infatuation period, my commitment gave. This is the best phone ever, Lelia. You have to maintain that phone. This is the best car ever, Lelia. You have to maintain that car. Daily it needs petrol, cleaning, vagera, vagera. Similarly, you got excited, took this bhakti, you have to maintain that bhakti. Seva, continuous seva. Sravanam, kirtana, kabhi band hona nahi chahiye. How long? One lifetime? No, life after life. For the rest of eternity. Just by remembering this, just by thinking in these lines, mind gets ringing. My God. Mujhe laga kabhi to band hoga. Band hona nahi chahiye. Band hoa to, like if you want that break to happen, you are not a devotee. You are like the tamasic fellow, rajasic fellow, sattvic person, mishra bhakta, unalloyed, guni, other different 81 categories are there, right? But if you want to come into this 82nd category of what is described in 11th and 12th verses, not what is described in 8th, 9th, 10th verses. No interruption. Eternal commitment. Dar lag rahe? Dar lag rahe to kya kar sakte? Pray to Krishna. To make us fearless. But it's a tall order. Not a small thing. We are venturing into, we are too adventurous actually. We are extremely adventurous to come to this path. And to make a commitment to continue in this path. Some senior devotee sannyasis say, if people leave from bhakti, it's not so surprising. If they stay in bhakti, it's very surprising. He's ready for this eternal commitment. Right? Eternally seva chahiye, liberation nahi chahiye. Kitna der karta rahega? At least, Brahmacharya Ashram, in our regular things, we have a opportunity to change the flavor of seva. Ye seva hum bore ho gaya, theek hai, dusra seva kar lenge. Department change. Right? Like that. But in the spiritual world, sometimes the seva could be eternal seva. Eternally, you may have to make pan for Krishna. Eternally, you may have to be a tree giving shadow to Krishna. Who knows? In our VT ICA classes. Karam Prabhu was telling something in these lines, and he said, maybe your service in spiritual world could be making faces to entertain Krishna. You become a monkey and show different faces to entertain Krishna. Krishna Arvind Prabhu, are you ready for that? Arvind Prabhu. He's one of our devotees in our VTA batchmates, our dear friends. Like that. Are you ready? Gauranga Gunarana Prabhu. Hari Bol. He's ready. Ready for Ahaituki Avyatihata, Madguna Sruti Matrena. Right? Whether you are ready or not is decided how ready are you, how excited are you when you hear Krishna's qualities. Madguna Sruti Matrena, Mai Sarva Guhasi. Just by hearing the qualities of Krishna, spontaneously is your mind running towards Krishna. Then you are ready. You may want to be ready, that's wonderful, that's great. But when are you actually ready? When you come to this stage. Mat guna sruti matrena mayi sarva guhasi. The previous verse. He memorized that verse. Eh? Next time when he has that verse, don't, all hands should raise. Mat guna sruti matrena is very important. So Prabhupada is writing, a devotee is satisfied to remain even in material world and execute devotional service. Another big issue. Continue seva. Sometimes continue seva in material world. Uddhava Gita, what seva did Uddhava get? Krishna said, I am going. Demigods came and called Krishna back. Krishna, you have descended, you have killed the demoniac people, you have protected the devotees, you have established religion. If you wish, you can go back to your abode. Ho gaya hamara kaam. There is nothing more for you to accomplish on our behalf. If you want, you can just go. 225 years you stayed here, helped us, that's fine. Krishna said, okay, fine, I'll dispatch all the yadus and I will also go back to my abode. Then Uddhava was overwhelmed. He came and said, Krishna, I can't stay without you. Take me also to your abode. Then what did Krishna say? He spoke 23 chapters of Uddhava Gita. Your mind will start going like this if you read Uddhava Gita. Many chapters. Right? He said, I am overwhelmed by separation from you, and he gets a technical class. Usme varnashram bhi hai, sab kuch hai. Jnana is there, Sankhya is there, everything is there. And he says, you can't come with me now. I have a seva for you. Kidhar hai seva? Spiritual world mein nahi. Material world mein seva hai. I'll go to spiritual world, you do seva in material world. What is that? Go to Bhadrakashram sages and repeat what I spoke to you there. All Sankhya and all that big philosophy. Right? So some Prabhupada writes, a devotee is satisfied to remain even in the material world and execute devotional service. So where are we and what is expected of a pure devotee? A devotee is so fond of serving the Supreme Lord that five kinds of liberation are not important to him. And when Uddhava came and asked Krishna, Krishna, please take me with you. Acharya is right there. Actually, Uddhava is not aspiring for liberation. Going to spiritual world, in one sense, is liberation from this material world. Uddhava is not aspiring for liberation. Uddhava wants to render service to Krishna. Because Krishna is going away from here. Krishna is going to somewhere else. So I will go there and serve Krishna. That's what Uddhava wanted. But Krishna told him, you be here and serve me only. Your service to me will continue. But geographical location mein thoda teda hai. Yes, right? MW, SW. You want to come to SW, you be in MW. One letter difference. Material world. Like that. Next, 14th verse. Another beautiful verse. Sa eva bhakti yogakhya atyantika udahritaha yenati vrajya trigudam madhavayo papadyate. Sa eva bhakti yogakhya. Read the translation for me.
By attaining the highest platform of devotional service, as I have explained, one can overcome the influence of the three modes of material nature and be situated in the transcendental stage as is the Lord.
So 13th verse describes how the devotees reject even liberation if it is without seva. 14th verse says, why do they do bhakti? They don't even want liberation also. what exactly is there in my mind, in their mind when they are doing bhakti. And with an empty mind, with absolutely no aspiration for anything in return, how long can you do service? Whenever we do some activity, it's the nature of a person to derive some enjoyment in that activity. Kuch to milna chahiye. Otherwise, why am I doing all this? What is that? Gadagiri, right? What is that? Gada mazduri. Right? Why am I working like a donkey if I don't get anything in return? A devotee does all that because it gives prema. By rendering this service to Krishna, my love for him is increasing. And ultimately, what nourishes me, what satisfies me, what gives me happiness is love for Krishna. The only aspiration of a devotee, pure devotee, who renders service to Krishna is love for Krishna. Satisfaction of Krishna. If you love someone, you want to please him. And your pleasure is in seeing his pleasure when you love him. That's the only purpose service he serves. Okay? Next. Purpose of service is clear. And no other aspirations, that is also clear. Fine. Next verse. 15th verse. 15th we did, right? 14th we did. Qualitative oneness is never aspired for by a devotee. Now 15th verse onwards, different angas of bhakti are described. Now we have seen the definitions of bhakti in mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. Then we have seen bhakti beyond modes, and we have seen what is the qualities of bhakta in that who is in that pure devotional service. He doesn't aspire for liberation, he wants only prema. And what are the practices of bhakti? What are the different angas or limbs of bhakti? A bhakta, what does he do? What are his activities? They are enumerated in the next 3-4 verses. 15th verse onwards. 15. Nishevita nani mittena swadharmena mahiyasa kriyayogena shastena nati himsrena nityashah. See this. Number one. Nishevana animittena. Nishevana means executing devotional service. Animittena means absolutely no attachment to the result of that activity. Animittena swadharmena mahiyasa. He is rooted in his swadharma. Whatever may be his occupational duty or prescribed activity, he will do that. Dutifully he will do that. But he doesn't expect anything in return. Means a bhakta, a devotee also is dutiful. He is not irresponsible. He is detached, but he is not irresponsible. Sometimes we equate responsibility with attachment and detachment with irresponsibility. Get him? But responsibility does not mean being attached. Detachment does not mean being irresponsible. We have to be responsible with detachment. That's what all the Rajarshis are teaching us. That's the art of living. So, that is Swadharma. Second aspect. Kriya yogena shastena na atihimsrena nityasaha. So, he does all devotional activities. Atihimsrena means without any violence. Na atihimsrena. Himsa means violence. So, he doesn't commit any violence towards any other people. Devotional service does not mean violence. Anudvega karam vakyam. I am doing bhakti. I'll ridicule all these people who are not doing bhakti. So there is some element of himsa there. Right? One should be kind. So that is, there are two aspects discussed in this verse, two angas. Prabhupada elaborates on each of them. One can serve the Supreme Lord by prescribed duty. Not only Brahmanas. Sudras also can perform bhakti. Vaishyas also can perform bhakti. They may do their activity. They may do their business. They may do their service, administration. Kshatriyas can do administration. But still they can be devotees. Prakshita Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, then Yudhishthir Maharaj, all these are Maharajas. Ambarish Maharaj, Chitraketu Maharaj, means all these are devotees, Kshatriyas. Priyavrat Maharaj, they are all devotees also, pure devotees also. Okay. Do your occupational duty. Okay. Prabhupada writes, who are they? Four categories. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They all can do their activities. For example, Vaishyas are there. They can do their crop protection, agriculture, and what is that, business and all. But still they can continue performing bhakti. Second part is about non-violence. One should eat vegetables only. Someone will say, are you eating vegetables is also violence? Yes. Killing plants also is considered violence only. However, we do that because that is the prescribed diet of the Lord, diet for human beings, and we don't directly devour it. We offer it to Krishna and then take the remnants. So when we offer it to Krishna, we will be relieved of that sinful effects or the reactions of doing some things, right, as a part of our sustenance. Jivo jivasya jivanam. Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. Okay, next. 16th verse. Madhishnya darsana sparsham. Puja stuti abhivandanaihi. Bhuteshu madbhavanayam. Sattvena sangamena cha. So this verse is about four more angas of bhakti. First anga is what? First one. Swadharma. Second, non-violence, doing devotional activities without any violence. Third is madhishnya darshana sparsha puja stuti abhivandanaihi. You perform deity worship. Darshana means take darshan of the Lord, deity. Sparsha, touch the deity. Puja, worship the deity. Stuti, offer prayers to the deity. Abhivandanaihi, offer namaskar, dandavas to the deity. All these are part of deity worship. Next part, fourth element. Bhuteshu madbhavanaya sattvena asangamena cha. You start seeing people in this world with a detached vision, spiritual vision. Madbhavanaya, the way I look at them, the emotions that I have while looking at them, you should also have similar emotions. Right? So, means you should see people as part and parcels of Krishna. That is detached vision, spiritual vision, not as a person who is supposed to offer you enjoyment. Several years back, I think Gauram Prabhu gave one class. When a beautiful girl, lady, comes with a nice chocolate in her hand, right, she's standing there. When a small child sees that lady, auntie, I want chocolate. Auntie, I want chocolate, he says. Okay. When a young boy, grown up, young man, sees that lady, chocolate, I don't want chocolate, I want the person only, right? He is attracted to her in an essential manner. When a tiger sees that same lady, my lunchbox is ready. Tiger thinks like that. So same personality, right? Same scene is triggering different kinds of emotions in different people. When you're a small boy, you don't have developed senses or developed consciousness. All you need, you are in Annamaya Kosha. All you want is some chocolates or some biscuits, etc. Auntie has it, take it, like that. But he is more in a lusty manner. When someone is young, his senses are agitating so much, his chemicals within his body are just always looking forward for association of opposite sex. So he sees her in a different manner. Even if she gives chocolate, ne aap chahiye, aisa bolega. But tiger has a totally different consciousness. Right? But Krishna, when he sees, the outlook of Krishna is, this person is suffering in this material body. This soul is part and parcel of myself. And because of developing a rebellious mentality towards me, because of being averse to a sense of subordination towards my service, in this female body, this poor soul is suffering. That is Krishna's perspective. Somehow or the other, I want to reclaim this soul. Right? When a pure devotee sees that lady also, he has the same outlook as Krishna. Not the outlook of tiger, not the outlook of young man, not the outlook of that small boy, small child. Okay? That's what similar vision as Krishna. Bhuteshu mad bhavanaya. Sattvena asangamena cha, without any attachment. The boy has an attachment towards the chocolate in her hand. The grown-up man has an attachment towards her body itself. And the tiger has an attachment towards the flesh of this person. The tiger wants to eat, right? But Krishna wants the person within that body to come back to the spiritual world and serve him, love him. And a pure devotee also has a similar intent as Krishna. That's what Bhuteshu mad bhavanaya. Clear? Prabhupada writes an elaborate purport. I will not discuss all that. I will just give a flow generally. A neophyte considers Archa Vigraha as representative of the Supreme Lord in form of deity worship. So about deity worship, they are mentioned. First two lines is about deity worship, right? So, part of deity worship is decorating, respecting, veneration, touching the lotus feet, offering. At the same time, to advance in devotional service, devotee should see other living entities also as spiritual sparks. We'll discuss more about this deity worship. Interestingly, Krishna connected these two together. Deity worship and detached and spiritual vision of other living entities. A Kanishta Bhakta, what he does is, he worships the deities with great veneration and respect and reverence. But he doesn't have compassion towards other living entities. And he doesn't even have proper respect towards other devotees also. What to speak of other living entities. Because he is so close to the deity, he sometimes thinks that he himself is the deity. Or he thinks that, I am so close to the Lord, who is this fellow? No respect. No respect towards other living entities. That kind of worship is not at all pleasing to Krishna. More of this we'll discuss after some time. Okay. So along with worshipping the deities, one should also have kindness, compassion, respect, and friendship with other devotees and other living entities in general and devotees in specific. If you ridicule and disrespect devotees and you have so much of love and affection and worshipful attitude towards the deities, Krishna is not very happy with such a deity worshipper. How happy he is not, we will see after 3-4 verses. Okay. But Dargaya, first time when I read these verses, I'm just telling you a secret. I thought I should never enter this deity worship department. My God. This is what Kapil Dev has to say about deity worship. But Krishna has his own plans. From many years I am into deity circuit only. Okay. Anyways. Although a devotee sees all the living entities on the level of spiritual existence, he is not interested in associating with anyone. Anyone who accepts Vishnu as Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted as Vaishnava. Simple statements are there in purport. You can study. I will not elaborate so much. Next. 17th sloka. More angas of bhakti are mentioned. The 17th sloka is in specific to qualities of a madhyama bhakta.
Mahatambahumanena
dina namanu kampayam
maitriya chaivatma tulyeshum
yame naniyame nacham mahatam bahumanena. Mahatam means great people. You should respect them. Okay. Number two. Dinanam anukampaya. Dina means one who is lower than you, who is less qualified than you, who deserves your kindness and compassion. So you should be kind towards them. Dinanam anukampaya. You see people greater than you respect them. You see people lower than you be compassionate towards them. Don't look down upon people who are less qualified than you. Don't envy people who are more qualified than you. That's implied in this. So when the do is mentioned, don't is understood. Next. Maitriya chaivatma tulyeshu. Maitriya. Atma tulyeshu means one who is equal to you. Tulya means equal. Atma tulyeshu means he is equal towards yourself. What should be your outlook towards such a person? Maitri, friendship. Make friendship with people who are equal to you. In this entire world, you can meet people who may fall into one of these three categories. They are either better than you, or lower than you, or equal to you. Only three categories. What should be your behavior towards them is mentioned in this verse. Okay. Gunadhikar mudam lipsit. When you see someone who has better qualities than you, mudam lipsit, be happy. Gunadhikar mudam lipsit. Anukrosham gunadhamat. One who is less qualified than you, you show compassion upon him. Maitrim samanadanvichyam. And make friendship with persons who are equal to you. This verse is from Narada Muni's teachings to Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto. Same verse, like this only. Words are different, meaning is same. The last point is yamena niyamena cha. You do regulation. What does a madhyamadhikari do? He prema, maitri, krupa, upeksha. Four things are there in his dealings. Prema, he loves the Lord. Maitri, he does friendship with people who are favorable to bhakti. Krupa, he has compassion towards people who are ignorant or innocent. And upeksha, he stays away from inimical people, envious people. Okay, that is 17th verse. To think of Guru and Vaishnavas as common men belonging to certain caste is condemned. The man is poor if he is not in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Okay, next. Purport you can study.
Adhyatmikanu shravanan nama sankirtana chamim arja venarya sangena nirahankriya yatatham.
This verse describes more angas of bhakti. Adhyatmika anushravanan. Anushravanan means you should hear submissively. What you should hear? About spiritual subject matters. Adhyatmika anushravanan. Not prajalpa anushravanan. Or some other anushravanan. Then nama sankirtanachame. You should also chant the holy names of the Lord. Next. Arjavena aryasangena. Arjava means simplicity. Be simple. Don't be complicated. Be very sober, simple, straightforward, and not very complicated, unapproachable. Simple, Ranaika. Heart should be very simple and plain. Then, Arya Sangena means having good association of noble people. Nirahankriyaya tatha. No false ego. No ahankar. So these are all easier said than done, all these limbs. Each limb can be elaborated into one big seminar, but we are just listing them. Next. When all these limbs are followed, whatever is described from 15th verse till 18th verse, 15, 16, 17, 18, four verses are describing around 13 limbs of devotional service. There are so many limbs, but these 13 are listed here. When someone aligns himself with these 13 things, then he will come to this stage, which is described in the 11th and 12th verses. Madguna sruti matrena mahi sarva guhashaye munogati ravichinna yatha gangam basom budo. When will this happen? When you follow all those limbs nicely. This doesn't manifest overnight. So to achieve this stage, we need to go through the previous four slides. Next. When that happens, means yes, even in 6th canto, 1st chapter, 14th and 15th verses, Sukadeva Goswami gives long list, 25 limbs of a person who is doing jnana. First, Parikshit Maharaj asks how these people may be protected from entering hellish planets. Then, Sukadeva Goswami presents Karmakanda, that is rejected as Kunjara Shochavat. Then he proposes Jnanakanda with these 25 limbs. Some of them are similar. Then, that is also rejected, considering it as Venu Gulmam Ivanala. It's like following all these limbs is will burn your sinful reactions to ashes, just like forest fire burns the bamboo bushes to ashes. But as soon as there is a favorable atmosphere climate, the roots are not burned, again they will sprout. So there Prabhupada writes in the purport, all these limbs, or several of those limbs, are followed by devotees also. So there is something very much common between these limbs, which are mentioned as jnana limbs, and devotees limbs also, bhakti yoga limbs also. But the difference is there in their, one in their aspiration, right? Jnana, the jnana person, he wants to cultivate a lot of knowledge about various things in this world, and as a process he undergoes all these things. But what is recommended for someone who is practicing devotional service, someone who is aspiring to perform pure bhakti, is follow these limbs and burn that jnana, and then retain the devotion only. Okay, that is mentioned several places. So the befitting analogy there is, in Uddhava Gita it comes. You try to use some instrument to attain, you take an axe to cut down the tree or something like that. And after cutting down the tree, just remove that axe like that. So like that, the process itself has to be given up. But acharyas say that process of jnana or whatever, cultivating that, could be given up. But those things, those aspects of the process that are favorable to devotional service, that are very much integral part of devotional service, they should not be given up. Right? So basically the difference between limbs may be same, but a jnana person is utilizing these limbs to attain something. But devotee is eternally committing to the all these limbs. So jnana person, after performing these limbs for a while, so he will give them up, okay, and then go ahead with his aspiration. It could be liberation or anything else, right? Devotee just retains all of them because it's a part of his devotional service. The goal and the means are same. So they may also, jnana person also may also do sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, all this. But all these are a part of their practice of achieving what they want. Right? But they don't want to actually do them for the rest of eternity. Am I a little understanding? Develop that pure emotion, we should back up our practice with some logical explanation. And this is very much needed even in preaching also, for our own conviction also, for a rational brain, etc. But ultimately, when one has developed pure emotions towards Krishna, logic has zero role to play. That's what we can see in Vrajavasi's case. Now you see, Krishna has presented a lot of logic to convince Vrajavasis to give up Indra worship and take to Govardhan Puja. But although he presented a lot of Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which he himself is not convinced, I am 100% sure Vrajavasis, none of them are bothered to understand the Karma Mimamsa philosophy at all.
What pleases you, Krishna? Govardhan Puja pleases you?
We'll do it. Yes.
So they agree to this not because of the philosophical presentation given by Krishna, just because they love Krishna, and Krishna is pleased if you do Govardhan worship. And all these people, they saw Krishna lifting Govardhan, and it doesn't make any sense. It has zero logic to support Krishna with their sticks. Right? We will support you. Otherwise, Krishna may just drop it here. You see, that's why some of these things are not very digestible. When we read all this Brahmara Gita, Yugala Gita, Venu Gita, and certain descriptions given in Garga Samhita, Anandavrindavan Champu, etc., about pure that Vraja chapters, Vrindavan chapters, it's little too much for a logical brain to accept, because they are on a totally different platform only. So, but that pure emotion is not so cheap. It doesn't manifest in us. So we need a lot of philosophical basis. We see Narayana is Narayana. Narayana Krishna. That's the highest stage. So if we start getting into the emotion business right from the beginning only, then that is Sahajya. Right? Acharyas also say, Bhagavatam prayers are filled with lot of descriptions. What could be a more confidential interaction or transaction than that which is happening between Krishna and the gopis? Krishna wrote a love letter to the gopis. And who carried it? Uddhava, the most confidential associate of Krishna. There cannot be anything confidential than this. But that letter has a lot of jnana. The letter has a lot of philosophical discussion. So Acharya say that Krishna tried to send away the gopis on Sharad Purnima day by presenting them Karma Yoga. And Krishna tried to pacify the gopis by sending a letter with Uddhava that presents Jnana Yoga. But both of these are highly irrelevant for gopis. Gopis are beyond all this karma jnana business. But they are needed for us. So philosophical discussion is a constant theme even in the midst of 10th canto also. Braj Vrindavan chapters also, Rasa Panchadhyaya also. Because it's very much relevant for all the people in this world. Practitioners of Bhakti Yoga also. Very few people are there who are at that level who can just relish only the emotion part. Right? Can get a glimpse of it, but we can't constantly, simple sadhaka cannot constantly just get attracted by that only. It may seem illogical. And they start bringing that down to this level also. Sahajism, all this will happen. My little understanding. Yeah, please. One more thing in connection, I will just come to this. One more thing in connection to the first question is, yesterday we were discussing about dhyana, the meditation of Ashtanga Yogi. So, a devotee also, Sanchintiyal, Bhagavata, Charanavind, all the whole series we have seen yesterday, a devotee also does all the devotional meditation with love for Krishna, but a dhyana yogi, he does it with an aspiration to get into liberation. Even if his heart is getting attracted to Krishna by following that process, he wants to withdraw his heart from that beautiful form of Krishna and focus on his liberation business. Fisherman yogi or whatever. So that is in connection with the previous thing. Now coming to this thing, even Lord Chaitanya also faced the same problem. Lord Chaitanya was dancing in Varanasi with all his associates. So then Prakashananda Saraswati said, you people are sentimentalists. You don't have any philosophical basis. You are just dancing and chanting with great emotions. Right? So like that he had a lot of comments. And after that Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan and then came back again to Varanasi. And then because the devotees are getting too much concerned and bothered by his comments, Prakashananda Saraswati, Mahaprabhu went into philosophical discussion, and then he proved how Shankaracharya's Vivartavada is all wrong. So he presented a lot of philosophy to them. Now, in our current setup, someone says that you don't do meditation. What else he said? You don't do? meditation. They are of value in this world, and sometimes pure practitioners of pure bhakti could become irrelevant to such audiences. We will try to make this relevant, my little understanding, I don't have much recent experience, but we will try to make this appealing to them also by taking little measures to present in a certain manner, but there is a limit to it. We can't give up our caste. We are what we are. We have to practice what we have to practice. If I have to change myself so drastically just to be appealing to them, and after 100 years or 1000 years they will come to this, right? Then I'm not sure how much it is worth. And it's the individual's priority also. Some people may want to invest in something in for which they see returns after 100 years. That's fine, wonderful. They have the bandwidth and intelligence to do it. They have a longer vision without compromising on what they are doing. But ajantihi sumedhasaha, we are a minority, definitely. We have to accept it. We can't be having as many followers as a celebrity, movie celebrity. You may be dancing and attracting crowds. And you may give pure Bhagavatam class, you sloka, and then you are, you may attract only a few people. We are a minority, we need to accept that. But whoever is there in this minority circle are pure people, who are having pure aspirations at least. So to what extent can we just go towards certain class of people to attract them to this pure process has to be decided by an acharya, that's his prerogative. And if he has certain ideas, certainly we can present and then take their sincere blessings and then do the needful. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, second chapter of Adilila, Kaviraj Goswami writes, beautiful. Every context you may not find it very relevant or appealing, but we can see Kaviraj Goswami's purity and straightforwardness. Right? He says, I am writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita the way the Lord has inspired me, right? And this is what has happened, this is what it is, emotional, whatever he just wrote. I cannot appeal to all classes of people. And if some people find my descriptions or writings sentimental or irrelevant or not so appealing, etc., I am not responsible for them. This is how I will present. Very clear lines, and Prabhupada writes some supporting lines also there. Right? Definitely we need to present things in an appealing way to the modern audience, no doubt about it. That's what preaching is, that's what Prabhupada has done also, presenting all the Vedic literature in English, he goes there also. But there is a limit, there are some guidelines to do that. Right? We can't go beyond certain limits. Who can decide all that? Acharyas can decide. Empowered acharyas can decide. We need to take guidance from them. Is what it seems relevant to me. Mature people can decide that. So morning, Abhimanyu Prantu was giving a nice Bhagavatam class. How many were there? Okay, fine. Only two hands are raising. My God. Three. Four. Fine, no problem. So, he was quoting from one senior devotee. There is a service that is assigned to us. We are given some service to do. Number two, we are inspired to do some service, but we can make that service bona fide by getting approval and sincere blessings of the authorities. This is the direction in which I want to do service in a certain manner. So do I have your blessings, approval, heartfelt blessings? Okay. Then it will become bona fide. That's what you are accepted with. Okay. So one of these two. Third thing is there, that's not very much relevant in this discussion. So if you are inspired to serve in a certain way, we can always ask. Next, 20th verse. No, 19th verse. So no break, huh? I'll end early, but we'll not have a break. Chalega na? Very good.
complete this answer at least. Tell me the beginning of the verse. Madharmano gunairetaihim parisamshuddha ashrayaham ashayaham purushasyagna bhyatim shrutamatra gunam himam.
When one is fully qualified with all these transcendental attributes and his consciousness is thus completely purified, he is immediately attracted simply by hearing my name or hearing of my transcendental quality.
Okay. That's what I just said before this Q&A session. So, by being purified by this angas of bhakti, then this person's mind will be simply attracted by Shravana. That is what is discussed in Madguna Sruti Matra. Madguna Sruti Matrena Mahi Sarva Guhasaye Manogatri Vichinna. Just by hearing the descriptions of the qualities of Krishna, spontaneously one's mind will just run towards Krishna. Is it not? Same thing is mentioned. For that stage, to attain that stage, we need to be purified by sincerely practicing this Angasam Bhakti. Okay? Mind is simply attracted by Shravana. This is the ultimate stage. In the beginning, very systematic presentation. 11th and 12th, he said, what is pure devotional service? Then later verses, he discussed what are the elements of pure devotional service. 19th verse, he is concluding saying that by following these angas, you will attain that result. 19th and 11th and 12th verses are same in meaning. 20th verse. Number 20. Yathavatartho granam avrinte gandha ashayat evam yogaratam cheta atmanam avikariyat yatha vata ratho ghranam. So just like the chariot of air carries aroma from its source, bhakti carries one's mind towards the Lord. Very beautiful analogy. 20th verse and 19th verse are same. 19th verse principle is mentioned. 20th verse gives an analogy. Okay. What does 19th verse say? It says that if one practices angas of bhakti, one will be attracted to the Lord just by hearing about him. How he is attracted? Just like air, the wind, carries the aroma from its source. So now the source is this flower. The flower emanates aroma. When will that aroma enter your nostrils and give you a pleasant experience? When the wind carries that aroma from that source to your nostril, is it not? Just like wind, and nobody pays the wind. Nobody can block the wind also. As soon as you come in a garden where the wind is blowing, where there are some fragrant flowers, automatically the fragrance will come inside your nostrils. There are 10 people sitting in the garden. If they have this sense also, I don't have this much. If they have this sense also, nose sense also, smelling sense also, all of them will get aroma. Because wind is there surrounding all of them. Wind will not give aroma to only one person and block that aroma from the remaining 9 people. So just as wind carries aroma from its source, sincere performance of bhakti carries the mind of the devotee towards the Lord as soon as he hears about Krishna. That is, mai sarva guhasaye manogati ravichinna yatha gangam bhasun madguna shruti mat. Clear? 20th verse is clear? 21st verse. So that completes the discussion of pure devotional service. First we discussed bhakti in three modes. Next we discussed bhakti beyond the three modes. And we discussed the mentality of a devotee in such pure devotional service. We discussed angas of bhakti. Okay? Now we will discuss obstacles in such a bhakti. Very dangerous discussion. Next 4 verses. Aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma avasthitah sadam
tamavagnaya mam martya kuru tercha vidambanam yomam sarveshu bhuteshu santam atmanam ishvaram hitvarcham bhajate maudhyad bhashyamanyeva juhoti saham. Read the translation.
I am present in every living entity as the super soul. If someone neglects or disregards that super soul everywhere and engages himself in the worship of the deity in the temple, that is simply imitation. One who worships the deity of Godhead in the temples but does not know that the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is situated in every living entity's heart must be in ignorance and is compared to one who offers oblations into aces.
Okay. So these are the four verses that scared me to enter deity worship arena. First two verses are describing about the mentality of a deity worshipper or a devotee in general. So if he disregards aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatmas avasthitah sada, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is staying right in the hearts of every single living entity, everyone is worth respect. But if one disregards the presence of the Lord in their hearts, one may philosophically understand it, he may have knowledge of it, but while behaving with other people, while interacting with other people, he conveniently ignores the presence of Krishna in their hearts. He hates them, he disregards them, he disrespects them, he criticizes them. So when the presence of Krishna in the hearts of other devotees or other living entities in general is not acknowledged by a devotee, the worship of such a devotee is not at all pleasing to Krishna. Okay? That's what this beautiful verse is. Disregarding his worship is simply an imitation. Imitation cooking. We have our popular example. When a child imitates the mother in cooking while playing with toy utensils, that is not cooking. Similarly, when a devotee worships the Lord, disregarding other devotees or other living entities, disrespecting them, ridiculing them, and not specifically not acknowledging their connection with Krishna, their surrender to Krishna, then it is like imitation. And another example is given, offering oblations in ashes. Now our Sumit Yajna, Sumit Prabhu does yajna every day right in front of your residence. So every day he puts sticks there and puts ghee, then fire comes. So when fire comes, when he pours ghee on it, that is called sacrifice. After the sacrifice is over, abhi jao, then you will find only ash there. You take 10 liters of patmeda ghee, pure ghee, and put it on it. Will that be considered sacrifice? Not at all. That is considered wasting ghee, wasting pure ghee. And you are considered mad fellow. Right? So someone who worships Krishna by disregarding other living entities and other devotees in specific is offering oblations of pure ghee in ashes. It's not considered sacrifice, it is waste. Like that. Examples are very grave. So presence of God in every living entity's body is essential. Right? Without the preliminary knowledge of Lord's omnipresence, if one simply attaches himself to the rituals in temples, it's as if they are offering ashes, offering oblations into ashes, not in fire. Okay. Rituals in temples. One may be very pakka in following all the protocols of deity worship. He may be very clean, Achaman pakka karega, the timing, punctuality is perfect, everything is perfect. But you keep disrespecting other devotees. Achaman karna bhi nahi aati, kya aadmi hai? Something wrong there. Right? So even if someone is doing some mistake, one may disapprove that mistake, but one cannot disown that devotee. That's what Lord Chaitanya does. Lord Chaitanya, in Antalila also, one of the sections I titled like this, disapproved but not disowned. Don't disown the devotee. If he does a mistake, mention that mistake to that person in a way that he doesn't get so embarrassed and loses all inspiration to continue the service completely. Because if it is your responsibility to mention, to correct people, to improve people's performance, etc., you have to do that. That's your duty. But that has to be done without disregarding the presence of Krishna in their hearts. Okay. So, a devotee should not ignore any living entity, however insignificant he may be. The significance or insignificance of a living entity is dependent on whether he is connected to Krishna or not. But everybody is connected to Krishna, so everyone is significant. But although everyone is connected to Krishna, and in that sense everyone is significant, someone is more awakened to that connection to Krishna, more aware of his relationship with Krishna, someone is less aware of his relationship with Krishna. In that sense, there are gradations amongst devotees. Uttama, Madhyama, Kanishta. Okay. Whoever is more, having more love for Krishna, is an Uttama person. Whoever has very least connection with Krishna, least awareness or knowledge or understanding or realization of his connection with Krishna, you may consider less advanced, neophyte bhakta, right? But technically speaking, everybody has connection with Krishna. In that sense, a generic respect is meant for every single living entity, because after all, everyone is connected to Krishna. Okay. But one has to, after these three verses, another thing, another discussion comes, that's very much important for us to understand whom to respect, how. How much to respect. So this is one thing. Next, 23rd verse. So avagna, that is the key word in this verse. Avagna means disregard or disrespect. While performing devotional service, one of the greatest obstacles in your performance is your avagna, your disregard towards other devotees. Okay. Next, second verse. Dvishataha parakaryemam manino bhinna darshinaha bhuteshu baddha vairasya namanah shanti mruchatim.
One who offers me respect but is envious of the bodies of others and is therefore a separatist never attains peace of mind because of his inimical behavior towards other living entities.
So dvishataha is the keyword here. Hatred, envy towards other devotees. When we worship the Lord, when we perform devotional service, but if he hates other devotees, Krishna is not pleased with him. Na manaha shantim richati. Such a person cannot attain any peace. No peace in devotional service. If the basic peace is also not there, where is his advancement and all that? Right. Next, 24th verse. Aham uchchavachair dravyaihi kriyayotpanna yanaghem naivadushyarchitorchayam bhutagramavamaninaham. Avamaninaha is the keyword here. Read the translation.
My dear mother, even if he worships with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple.
Avaman means insulting, literally. Insulting can happen through criticism and all these things. So, disregard, hatred, criticism. Avagna, dvishataha, avamana. So if one has these three attitudes in his performance or devotional service, then his worship towards Krishna is imitation, oblations in ashes, and no peace. this slide, summarizes this four verses. Okay. Now, what is the solution to come out of these obstacles? That is described in the next three verses. Very structured presentation he gives. Acha archada varchaye tavad ishwaramam swakarma krita yavanna veda swahridi sarva bhuteshu avasthitam.
Performing his prescribed duties, one should worship the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until one realizes my presence in his own heart and in the hearts of other living entities as well.
So here, Kapiladev says that one should continue to worship the deity of the Lord and one should attempt to see the presence of the Lord in everyone's heart. It's the basic. Seeing connection with everyone, between everyone and the Lord is the basic thing. One should not be satisfied simply by discharging his duties properly. He must realize his relationship with the Lord, and he must also understand the relationship between the Lord and other living entities also. Svakarma krit, discharging his prescribed duties. Then, what will happen is, Atmanascha parasyapi yah karotyantarodharam tasya bhinnadrisho mrityor vidadhe bhayamulbanam.
As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a differential outlook.
In the form of death, Krishna will give fear to those people who see differences amongst living entities. So one should have equal vision. Daksha got a feedback from the Lord. Why are you seeing differences? One should not see differences amongst all the living entities only because all of them are connected to me. And you are seeing difference between me and Shiva. You are worshipping me and you are disregarding Shiva. You are disrespecting, offending and blaspheming Shiva. I am not pleased with your worship. Okay. So Daksha worshipped Vishnu and hated Shiva. And the Lord is not happy with Daksha. That's the best example. Morning Bhagavatam class series are happening in that way. Okay. Next. Prabhupada is writing in the purport. 26th purport, right? 25th. 26th. Devotee's outlook should be both soul and super soul are equally present in all varieties of living entities. 27th verse. Jeevaha sreshtahya jeevanam athamam sarva bhuteshu bhutatmanam krutalayam arhayedanamanabhyam maitriya bhinnena chakshusha. So athamam sarva bhuteshu, read.
Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior and by viewing all to be alike, one should propitiate me who abide in all creatures as their very self.
So therefore, by charity or respect or friendly behavior, charity is towards whom? Someone who is less qualified than you. Respect is towards whom? Someone who is more qualified than you. Friendly behavior and equal vision towards, friendly behavior is towards equals. Equal vision is basically towards everyone. This equal vision is basically seeing their connection with Krishna. Seeing that Krishna is there in everybody's heart. Okay. So one should propitiate me who abides in all as their very self. So one should respect, give charity, or have friendly behavior and have equal vision in his dealings with everyone in this world. However, having equal vision does not mean losing discrimination. That is already established in a very nice manner till now. but it's not very clear. Somehow in the last three verses, not three, from 21 to 27, last seven verses, Kapiladeva is repeating, realize my presence in everybody, respect everyone, have equal vision, I am there in everyone. So he is emphasizing more on the equal vision, but having equal vision does not mean discrimination, does not mean losing discrimination. You should not discriminate between people. Correct. But you should not lose discrimination also. That is explained in the next seven verses. Okay. We need to understand the gradation of living entities and offer them respect as much as they deserve. You should respect every living entity. Fine. A sannyasi comes here with his sannyasi robes, sannyasi danda, saffron and all. And his assistant will come with white, with hairs or whatever. He will come holding the suitcase of a sannyasi or whatever, paraphernalia, bag of a sannyasi. You remember this verse, equal vision towards everyone, respect towards everyone. You just take the garland and offer the sannyasi, similar garland, and offer the servant also, and offer prostrated dandavats to both of them. What will happen? Sannyasi will look at you like this. He is an exalted person. But the assistant will be thoroughly embarrassed and he feels so awkward. Is it not? Don't embarrass him. Right? Offer dandavat. Give a smile. Acknowledge his presence. Don't disregard him. Don't disrespect him. But you can't give him as much respect as you give for that sannyasi. Is it not? So, sannyasi deserves more respect. In terms of quality and quantity, the respect you express for a sannyasi is of a certain flavor. But the respect you express towards someone who is normal, who is a bhakta, who is a new bhakta, or just first initiated devotee, or just began, he also has to be respected in a different manner. Right? For that, we need to understand the gradation of living entities and who deserves the maximum respect and who deserves the minimum or basic respect. For example, this is a non-living entity. Stable is a non-living entity. Right? Even if I just beat it like that, it doesn't feel any pain. No consciousness. But this also deserves certain respect. Okay? We are using this table to keep laptop, to keep books, Bhagavatam books, to keep garland. Right? So this deserves basic respect. You can't just kick it with your legs. Right? So on top of it you are putting garland, on top of it you can't kick, you have your study tables. You can't kick your study table with your leg. Is it not? You are using it to keep Bhagavatam on it. Okay? There is something, some footrest here. On top of it you keep leg. Right? But you can't keep it on the table. Your legs, right? That deserves that much respect. But it deserves respect does not mean you just keep it on the altar and then start worshiping. Om Jaya Jagadish Hare. You don't have to offer arati to that table. It's a table to keep your Bhagavatam book. Okay? To that extent, you give respect. Okay? So like that, we should understand the gradation of living entities. First, respect. We keep reading, Prabhu, translations from 28th verse onwards. Read a little louder.
Living entities are superior to inanimate objects. Blessed Mother.
Inanimate objects are this chair, table, etc. They deserve basic amount of respect. But movable, living entities who are immovable, like trees, they also deserve some respect. Okay. Continue.
Living entities.
You may climb a tree. For that, you may have to put your feet on the tree. That's fine. You can't take a stick and then start beating the tree left. Removing all the leaves and everything. That's kind of disrespectful. Unnecessarily bothering it. Right? Taking the mastic and putting it. That's all very frivolous activities. Right? Continue.
Living entities who display life symptoms are better. Mm-hmm. Animals with developed consciousness are better than them. And better still are those who have developed sense perception. Among the living entities who have developed sense perception, those who have developed the sense of taste are better than those who have developed only the sense of touch. Better than them are those who have developed the sense of smell, and better still are those who have developed the sense of hearing. Better than those living entities who can perceive sound are those who can distinguish between one form and another. Better than them are those who have developed upper and lower sets of teeth, and better still are those who have many legs. Better than them are the quadrupeds, and better still are the human beings. Among human beings, the society which is divided according to quality and work is best, and in that society the
human beings are respectful, they are supposed to be respected, but amongst them people who are following varnashram, they are supposed to be respected more. Brahmanas, amongst the varnas, all brahmanas are supposed to be given more respect. Brahmana who knows Vedas is more respectable. The one who knows the meanings of the Vedas, internal meanings, he is more respectable. So like that, there is an entire gradation in the next 6-7 verses. Read.
Better than the Brahmana who knows the purpose of the Vedas is he who can dissipate all doubts, and better than him is one who strictly follows the Brahmanical principles. Better than him is one who is liberated from all material contamination, and better than him is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expectation of reward.
Okay. Pure devotee is final. He deserves the maximum respect. Inanimate objects, which are lifeless, they deserve the basic minimum respect. Right? To what extent you see? Footrest is different. Okay. And study table is different. Both are inanimate only. Amongst them also, you respect them in different ways. Altar floor is different, and your walking floor is different. There you clean with your cloth, separate cloth. Same marble, maybe you may have purchased same marble from same place, but somehow you kept one marble on the altar floor, one marble on the whatever, on the land that you are walking. So there is different respect. You put your feet on this land, but you worship that land, that marble. So we need to respect accordingly. Clear? Continue.
Therefore, I do not find a greater person than he who has no interest outside of mine, and who therefore engages and dedicates all his activities and all his life, everything, unto me without cessation.
Tasman mayarpita sesha kriyarthatma nirantaraha mayarpitatmanah pumso mayi sanyasta karmanah napashyami param bhutam akartuhu samadarshanad. This is about a devotee. The topmost in this gradation is devotee. Tasman mayi arpita. Mayi arpita means he has dedicated to me. What he has dedicated? Ashesha kriyarthatma nirantaraha. Constantly the results of all his endeavors he has completely dedicated to me. Such is his consciousness. Mayi arpitatmanah pumso. He has given to himself to me. Such a person is really great. He deserves the maximum respect. Your devotee deserves the maximum respect. Next. Manasaitani bhutani pranamed bahumanayan ishvaro jiva kalayam pravishto bhagavaniti.
Such a perfect devotee offers respect to every living entity because he is under the firm conviction that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has entered the body of every living entity as the super soul or controller.
So, not only that you should respect such a great pure devotee, maximum respect is supposed to be offered to such a pure devotee, that pure devotee also sees everyone with an equal vision and he respects everyone. A person is pure devotee. Someone who has imbibed this spirit, he is really a pure devotee. Okay. Next. That is 34th verse. Prabhupada is writing in 33rd and 34th purports. 33rd verse. He says, Samadarshanath means same interest as the Lord, not same as the Lord. There are master, servant, and service. Three things. All three are connected with each other. A devotee is a most confidential servant of the Lord, and never does anything for his personal account. Mayi sanyasya karmana. He works for him. mayyarpitatmanah. Next 34th verse, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Supreme Lord is not a living entity. A person enters into a room, room has become that person. It's not like that. Room does not become that person. So each body is the temple of the Lord. That does not mean the devotee, the soul becomes the Lord, our body is the Lord, not like that. So this temple, which is Lord entered this body, so body becomes a temple of the Lord. You respect the temple also in a certain manner. You respect the personalities within also in a certain manner. The Lord and the living entity. Because both are living in the same temple, that does not mean Lord and you are same. You are all living in Jeevi only, but you and Vrindavan are not same. Na? He is different and you are different. It's like that. So everyone deserves certain amount of respect. Give that much respect to everyone. 35th verse. Read the translation. Kapila Dev is concluding now. Read.
My dear mother, O daughter of Manu, a devotee who applies the science of devotional service and mystic yoga in this way can achieve the abode of the Supreme Person simply by that devotional service.
So I have described to you about Bhakti Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga. By practicing it, you can achieve the Supreme Lord or Brahman, respectively. If Ashtanga Yoga person becomes a Bhakti Yogi by getting attracted to the Lord, then he can also achieve the Bhagavan. That is 35th verse. Okay. If the living entity wants to enjoy by imitating the Supreme Lord, his desire is Maya. It puts him in the material atmosphere. Actually, yoga means meditation in the form of Lord Vishnu. If yoga is performed according to standard different direction, and no difference between yoga and bhakti yoga. Okay. So 36th verse, Kapildev says, I have described to you all these things so far, but from now onwards I'll describe to you about time. Read the 36th translation.
This Purush, whom the individual soul must approach, is the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Brahman and Paramatma. He is the transcendental chief personality, and his activities are all spiritual.
Okay. The same personality manifests himself as Brahman and Paramatma or Bhagavan. So by following different processes, you achieve different aspects of that same person. For example, there is milk. Okay. Milk in this, there is no milk, but just assume there is milk. Now, there are different ways of approaching this milk. If I approach this milk with my sense of eyes, I see it as a white substance. That's the realization that I can get maximum if I use only my eyes. If I approach this same milk by using my sense of nose, fragrance, I'm saying, oh, it's a little fragrant, something is put in, or not much fragrance, like that. If I approach this milk through my sense of touch, I will understand it's hot or cold. That's all. All other senses are blocked. Only touch sensation is coming in contact with the milk. You'll only see that it's a little liquid and hot or cold, something like that. Lukewarm. If I approach the same milk through the medium of ears, I'm not seeing it, I'm not touching it, I'm not tasting it, I'm not doing anything. Just hearing about milk. You'll understand the glories of organic milk, inorganic milk, packet milk, powder milk, patmeda milk, this and that. You'll hear about it. Milk you have not seen. Other senses are not in contact. But if I approach this milk with the sense of my tongue, my mouth, and put it in my mouth and drink it, then I will get the complete realization of the milk. Milk is there so that it nourishes my body. It goes into my system. It gives strength to all my limbs. Then I will get the complete realization of it. And while putting the milk in my mouth, I may see it, I may smell it, I may touch it, I may hear about it. All other senses are automatically happening. But you are not very conscious of doing it. While drinking milk, you are not very consciously seeing it. You are not very consciously touching it. You may do all that, but your main job is to drink it. What are you doing? If someone says, you will say, I am drinking milk. You don't say, I am touching milk. You don't say, I am seeing milk. You don't say, I am smelling milk. Is it not? Although you are doing all of that. Similarly, there is Bhagavan, which is like this glass of milk. If you approach Bhagavan through your mental speculation, you will see him as Brahman. If you approach Bhagavan through your meditation, you will see him as Paramatma. If you approach Bhagavan through devotional service, you will see him as Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can reciprocate with your service, who can interact with you. Personal. Same person. You are realizing different aspects. Same milk. Right? When you say that, see the milk and say it's a white substance. Is it wrong? Of course, not wrong. White liquid, you say. Cool or lukewarm white liquid. So you got that realization by bringing your eyes and touch in contact with that milk. But you don't know more than that. Only when you drink it, you get nourished. Right? Similarly, someone who has very less understanding by following substandard process like jnana, karma, yoga, etc., they will also realize the Lord, but in partial aspects. Partially they will understand the Lord. Brahman is also Lord. Bhagavan, Paramatma is also Lord. But Paramatma is partial representation. Brahma is just effulgence. But if you approach Bhagavan directly, personality, his effulgence is right there. So Bhagavan realization includes Brahman realization and Paramatma realization also, although the devotee is not consciously getting excited with those two. Although you are not consciously, I'm touching milk. You say, I'm drinking milk. You go to Govindas and order a cup of milk. Right? If you touch the milk, he will not charge you, he will not give you bill. If you see the milk, he will not give you bill. Or if you smell the milk, he may chastise you. Arey, aisa kyun kar rahe? But he will not give you bill. He will give you bill only when you drink the milk. Right? What does it mean? It means that while drinking, you have taken complete advantage of that milk. That he also understands, you also understand. You are obliged to pay the bill. But just by smelling it, you have not utilized it advantage. He knows and you know. No bill. Right? No demand. At the max, he may look at you in an awkward manner. Like that. Right? So, only by worshipping Krishna in the mood of devotional service, you are able to take full advantage of his personality. Advantage of means like you are coming in contact with his full personality by approaching him with any other processes or even within bhakti, many other motivations, you cannot get complete satisfaction. Yayatma su prasidati. Complete satisfaction of the self is ensured only when you perform devotional service, bhakti yoga, with no motivations, with no interruptions. Till that time, dissatisfaction guaranteed. To what degree depends on one's consciousness. Thank you all very much. Ranathrashtra Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.